I want to read just a few verses. I trust that we all will listen carefully now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That wonderful word, how he loved them unto the end. And then it tells about Judas. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. That's a strange word, isn't it? Well, it means that now he was ready to be made a sacrifice. Judas, the traitor, was now gone, and now he was alone with a handful of people who loved him a little bit. And now he was glorified as the Passover lamb ready to be slain, to be broken, to shed his precious blood. Oh, this wonderful glorification of the Son of God. God wants to call it to our remembrance tonight. God wants every one of us to remember Jesus like that, and to remember that here alone is salvation, because he gave himself for us. And he gives us tonight his broken body and his shed blood. And so he says, if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. I think the Roman Catholic Church has something when they call this service Eucharist. That means thanksgiving. And it really ought to be a feast of thanksgiving, thanking God for the great unspeakable gift. We're coming to receive this gift afresh tonight. Jesus is here to minister to us the gift of life. This is portrayed in this wonderful table, and what is on it, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given for you. Oh, what kind of a preparation must I have to receive such a gift from heaven? Beloved, Jesus is here to give something. We are here to receive. And the question is, are we willing to receive this blessing? He tells us what it is. In one of these marvelous chapters in St. John, he says, these words have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full. We quoted that text this morning. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That ought to be the mark of our faith. We don't see him with our natural eyes, but we're alive in him and he lives within us. And tonight, that flow of life wants to be intensified to every one of us. But he tells us why he wants our joy to be full, because of these words. And you remember those words, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. What a word. Can you grasp it? Can you receive it tonight by faith that flow of the love of God is for every one of us? My Father, can I receive that love of thine into my heart? Something depends on whether I want it. Light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. But here my God offers me this life-giving love of the Father. as the Father hath loved me, he says, and I live by the Father, even so he that eateth me shall live by me. Here's something to receive for every one of us. And I'm sure we've discovered that when we come to the table of the Lord, we're not passing through a form of godliness. We're not just celebrating some religious rite, but we're really entering into communion with the body and with the blood of the Son of God. Oh, how we need it. How we need his blood to cleanse us from all sin. How we need that bread that comes down from heaven to give us life, even to our mortal bodies. Oh, how we need tonight to come to the table of the Lord and to be reminded of this unspeakable gift. But then he tells us something. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Communion doesn't only mean communion with the Father and with the Son, but it means communion with all the saints. All these saints, I was so happy at the tomb of Jesus, the empty tomb. All kinds of saints came there. Big saints, big preachers, some of the most renowned preachers of the world came there to hold their meeting. But you know, there was not one big fellow there. Everybody melted. I was so happy to see so many tears being shed. Preachers wept in the presence of the empty tomb as if they all remembered the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ brought. And here he says, now this is my commandment. I've given you one example that you should do even as I have done unto you. Here is his great command, the command of this great king. Here is the very foundation stone of the new covenant. And what is it? That ye love one another as I have loved you. Oh, we have learned to tolerate one another, haven't we? Pretty good. But you know, that isn't love. God's got something far more wonderful for my heart and your heart. And the question only is whether I want it. This is his salvation. Praise God. He said, I come to do thy will. Oh, my God. And if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and don't have that love, now the question is whether I want it, whether I want him. Jesus Christ cannot reign in a heart where the love of God has not conquered all lovelessness, all lack of love, and all evil feelings and evil thoughts. Love that suffereth long and is kind. Oh, that's what he means when he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now open your hearts for this love and let it reign within you. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why the harlots love one another and the publicans? And they give presents to those from whom they expect presents to receive. But love ye your enemies. Oh, Jesus Christ. Do I want that kind of a love? Do I want that in my heart? Or do I want to keep those bugs and those bats and those hornets and those worms crawling around in my system? Oh, how we hang on to those things. And yet he says, unless ye forgive from the heart. I wonder what God would say. You know, they put up a bus out here to examine your lungs. Did you ever go in there and have that thing shine through you? Well, there's a bus here in this meeting tonight. And there's an X-ray of heaven shining right through you. I wonder how many bedbugs and how many ants and centipedes and poisonous adders that are crawling around on the inside. Beloved, that's where our gossip and our backbinding and our fault-finding and our criticism comes from. It doesn't come from the other fellow. It comes out of my heart. Out of my heart proceed evil thoughts. There was nothing like that in the heart of Jesus Christ. In the heart of Jesus was the love of the Father that gave his only begotten Son for sinners who spared not his Son because of me. Oh, the love of God, so rich and pure. And if we with ink the ocean could fill, And if every man on the earth were a scribe by trade, and every stalk a pen, why, that ocean would run dry to write that love of God. And if the whole sky were one parchment, you wouldn't be able to write it. And human understanding doesn't reach to understand so great love. But I can have it. I can receive it. Beloved, I've got to have it. I must receive it if I'm going to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And beloved, how we fail. We had that text before us this week. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Oh, we love glibly to talk about how he loved us. And he did love us. And he does love us. But don't you come too close, Lord. Don't you dare now open these chambers of my heart. I've got a menagerie there. I like these little monkeys. I'm not going to give them up. And Jesus says, you let those snakes out and I'll stick the knife into them. Oh, no, Lord. No, no, I'm not ready for that. To love, to suffer long, yes, with a long face, sure. I'm willing to do that. But to be kind on top of it. To be sweet on top of it. Beloved, no man can do that except Jesus. But he can. And he says, take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. This is the inheritance of the New Testament. Do you want it? No, we don't want it. That's the question. Beloved, it's a pungent question. We talk about how we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. But every man that had this hope in him does something about it. Oh, he doesn't go through the day and spend his day foolishly pursuing the things of the flesh and doing the will of the flesh and of the mind. He is through with that. He is doing the will of God. The Spirit of God works in him mightily, burns in him like the fire of the Almighty to consume all lovelessness and all dross. Oh, I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Do you know him? Do you treasure him? People think they have. They're Pentecostal because they have a touch of God upon their lives. Because they've had a touch of the Holy Spirit. Why, that's wonderful. But why do you call him Lord, Lord, and don't do the things which he says? That's the Rabu Digamosa, the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit, that he takes possession of poor me and he gives me his riches. His riches in glory. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son. Did you ever say that? What? Now when Israel is getting ready to crucify him. Oh, yes, and he opened not his mouth. He reviled not again. There was no guile found in his mouth. Jesus Christ has got that holiness for you and me. He really has. He really has that life of God ready for you and for me. Oh, thank God for the table which he has spread in the presence of mine enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Beloved, tonight we ought to be very practical about it, shouldn't we? And I'm so happy. I was in a young people's meeting last night and I was so happy over the testimony of some of the young people. I hadn't seen them for years, for a long time. And I could tell that God had invaded some of those lives. That really was really getting his way. Wonderful. Why shouldn't he? Tell me, wherein does salvation consist but in bowing my neck to the yoke of Jesus Christ, getting acquainted with him? Dear Lord, are you here tonight? He's either here or he ain't, one or the other. But if he's here, he's here to minister to me. He says, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Everyone can take that. You can, and you'll get a blessing. And you can take that cup, and you can drink that blood of Jesus Christ, and you'll get a blessing according to your faith, according to the way you hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's the question. I know how we all like to be pretty, don't we? We like, and when we get to be a little bit older and it doesn't work anymore, then we get these big corsages. I always say it's like the pies in the restaurant. When they get to be stale, they put whipped cream on them. Then they sell again. Sure. Excuse me, but it's the truth. But who wants to be pretty on the inside? So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. Who cares? Who in this meeting cares for Jesus tonight? Beloved, he's here. And he desires so greatly to beautify me. He says, I have this against you. You've left your first love. You're not going to get through that way. I'm going to cast that candlestick out of its place, except you repent. I cannot use a bride that is not beautiful on the inside. Jesus, how do I look on the inside? Never mind now. Please, girls, don't take it hard. I like corsages, too. And flowers. And I think it's right for people to look decent, to look neat. I think that's the proper thing. But the proper thing for me and for you is to purify myself even as he is pure. Dear Lord, how do I do that? Why? By opening my heart, by wanting you, by purifying my soul through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That's the question tonight. Do I want his beauty? Do I want his purity? Dear Lord, I know that you know where I'm at. I cannot fool you. I might fool myself. And I might be able to fool others, but Jesus, I don't want to fool you. I want you to shine through me. Oh, I want that convicting power of the Holy Ghost to expose every bit of darkness, every feeling, every thought, every word. Beloved, if God doesn't do it, we'll go on fooling ourselves. I tell you, this heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But oh, Jesus offers me his own blood and his own bread of heaven and himself as I have loved you. Now we can all accept him tonight. That's why he says, this do in remembrance of me. Until he come. Isn't that wonderful thought that Jesus is coming soon? Praise the Lord. And that we're in this school of the Holy Spirit. And we're in preparation. God has us in preparation for that wonderful marriage feast of the Lamb. Oh, tonight, dear Lord, search me, O God, and try my heart. Know me and try my thoughts. Oh, that we might see the Lord high and lifted up like Isaiah and cry, woe is me, I am undone. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Isaiah was cleansed because he repented and all the others were blinded. God says, drive them away till they're all gone. Oh, Jesus, you are a jealous lover. And you have loved me as the Father has loved you, and you love me like that tonight. And oh, Jesus, I want to come to your table tonight and open my heart to you. Oh, I do want you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, my Lord, I pray thee, oh, by the power of the Holy Ghost, unsheathe your sword. Let thy living word be a discerner of the thoughts and intents of my heart, and purify me unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That's a wonderful word. Unfeigned, what does that mean? Untainted, clear, transparent. Oh, God, I know that naturally we don't have that, but Jesus, since you offer it to us, we want it. And so we come to the table of the Lord which thou hast prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. Help us, my Lord, tonight to come with living faith. Amen.